What's up, gamers, and welcome to Lost at Sea Gaming. I am Hulking Yoda, the captain of this ship, the SS Gamer. And in this episode, we are going to have to survive in the darkness with the resources that are limited to us and avoid a stalking creature during World War I in a bunker for French soldiers in my review of Amnesia, The Bunker. Before we jump into the details of this game's story, let's take a few minutes to talk about some details that you may not have known about the game or its developer in The Breakdown. Frictional Games is the developer of Amnesia, The Bunker, and therefore the entire Amnesia series. Now, Frictional Games is one of my favorite developers at this point because, gamers, I have honestly really enjoyed every game of theirs that I have played so far. I have played Amnesia, The Dark Descent, the first game that they really publicly had published and had success with, as well as Amnesia, The Bunker. Obviously, I'm here to do that review. I played Amnesia Rebirth. The other game that was not Amnesia that they did that I thought was really, really good, and I still got to finish it. I got so far into it but never finished it, was Soma, which was this underwater, just very psychologically driven title. And it was just so well done and very unique. Thoroughly enjoyed that game. All of their games are very, very thought-provoking and very well done as far as the story. And just, they really get you thinking about certain things, honestly. And there's always some kind of twist going on. So what I've loved about Frictional Games is the fact that they are an independent developer. They're from Sweden, and they don't have major financial backing. So they kind of base their next titles and what they work on next on the success and profitability of their previous games. So I thought it was pretty cool when I was looking into them that Amnesia, The Dark Descent was actually a lot more popular and successful than they thought it was going to be. And they actually used the profits from that game to fund their next couple of games, which was the expansion to Amnesia, The Dark Descent, as well as started publication and development on Amnesia Rebirth. Now, according to some documents that I read, they had last announced in 2016 they were working on three games, and they didn't specify at the time what they were. Since then, they have released Amnesia Rebirth and Amnesia The Bunker. My hope is that we get a third, as yet unannounced, Amnesia game, because I have thoroughly loved them so far. So only the future will tell. We shall see. Hopefully Amnesia The Bunker is doing really well for Frictional Games. Now let's go check out this game's story. Amnesia The Bunker takes place in the year 1916 during World War I, and you play as a French soldier who at the beginning of the game is basically in the middle of a firefight. And right away, he jumps down into the trenches that have been built for the French soldiers. And he has to work his way through these trenches. And as he's trying to do so, there is insanity going on all around him. German soldiers are everywhere, explosions, bullets flying. Let's just say he eventually makes it to a friend of his that was a fellow French soldier. And it looks like he's been wounded in battle. So now at this point, your task as the player is to try to bring him to safety. So you pick him up, you try to take him away with you and get out of the way of the firefight. Well, let's just say it doesn't happen. And German soldiers are in pursuit and our character goes unconscious. When the main character of the game awakes, you are now inside an infirmary, inside the French bunker underground with explosions and the different tremors happening around you from those explosions, but you're alone. There's not a single other human being around anywhere. And guess what? Hence the title of this game. The character has no recollection of what happened, how we got there, what's going on. So hence amnesia. Well, you as the player are pretty much right there with him, outside of just knowing that, hey, he's a soldier who's in the middle of the war, and there is this massive explosion that happened, and you were trying to help your friend. Here we are. So you kind of learn with this character as the player, as you're going through the bunker. And I won't go into a whole lot of more details with the story, because honestly, at this point, the story is really told in this game through the massive amount of notes and documents that you can pick up that are all throughout the bunker and its many different locations. There's actually 52 letters total that you can find. And these letters They range from just kind of journal entries of the soldiers to different commands or communication sent between higher ups in the French army and just all kinds of stuff. And what I loved about these documents is they really did do a great job of explaining the story, kind of giving a backstory of what life was like in this bunker for the soldiers before everything just went to hell, literally. And it also is a great tension building moment when you're reading some of the descriptions and experiences that some of these soldiers had. And as the build up to the creature that is stalking you the entire time you're in this bunker trying to find a way out, the way they describe the sounds and scratchings and growls within the walls of the bunker, and they're laying there in bed and they can hear movement in the walls and in the ceilings and what is going on. And then slowly, one by one, these different soldiers and friends of the ones who may be writing the journal entries, they're talking about their friends and comrades that are ended up being mutilated and killed. And of course, it starts this whole distrust between them, because then it's like, well, who's doing this? Like, one of us has to be doing this. It's only us down here. And after a while, things start to get out of hand. But I will say, there is another side to the backstory that I thought was really interesting here. There are some tunnels in this bunker that connected to other tunnels that were near Italy, basically. Where this bunker is located is very near the border of Italy. And apparently, they were digging themselves. And there was a lot of ancient tunnels that were down there near where this bunker was located. And these ancient tunnels looked like they were from the Roman times. And there was just different architecture and things down there that led them to believe that. But it also looked like it was almost like a city was built down there. But there was some weird mystic type stuff going on, and they were trying to figure it out. These French soldiers were at the same time trying to preserve the bunker and watch out for German troops on the front lines and above ground. So there's a lot of really cool stuff going on in the backstory as far as those ancient tunnels, in addition to just hearing and reading the stories. Because some of the documents, when you pick them up, they actually have voiceovers that read them as opposed to you just reading them. So it's kind of cool sometimes to hear the soldiers themselves speak the words that you're seeing on screen, and then also just for you to read them. As I said, it's just a really cool way to set the tension with the creature. It is a great backstory, and just to kind of see what these soldiers were up to before the bunker, during the building of it, and kind of the lax lifestyle they had and the safety they felt, only to find out they were nowhere near as safe as they thought they were. Now, as the game progresses and things happen, and you get to the end and you get some answers, I won't say that all the answers are given to you by the end of the game and its story's closure, but I will say you do get some answers. And I thought the answers were actually pretty cool, very interesting. And the ending in general, I felt like was kind of messed up. I don't disagree with it, I don't dislike it. I was just like, man, that is one of those endings, man. It's just like, wow, all that. And that's just kind of messed up. So, overall, I thoroughly enjoyed the story in this game, the story of the main character and the different conflict that he had and the guilt that he was dealing with over some things that he had done that you find out as you find his journal entries. I mean, there was just a lot of really cool stuff going on here. Lots of little tiny stories, but also stories told through photographs. There's different collectibles and photographs that you can find. And it's kind of cool because it gives a visual to some of the things that you read about in the journals. So I just thought that it was great seeing the different soldiers' rooms and the stories within the environment as well, and seeing the remnants, unfortunately, of the soldiers that were left, their bodies to either be devoured by rats or, placed on altars by certain things. I won't go into the details, but let's just say there's a lot of cool stuff going on here and things that I really enjoyed. And overall, I thought that the story was just a lot of fun and I enjoyed it. So now let's talk about my thoughts on the graphics and sound. Gamers, when it comes to the visuals and the sound of Amnesia the Bunker, I'm going to start here with the visuals. And let me just say that the game is, I'll just come out and say it, it's very much an Xbox One, PS4 era game, like a late generation of that generation game. And It's not terrible. I don't want to make it sound like these graphics are terrible, because obviously, if you think back on that generation, it wasn't by any means terrible. But you look at what we have nowadays and what we get used to with games like Horizon Forbidden West and, you know, the Dead Space remake and Resident Evil 4 remake, and just the visuals that we've been able to experience, especially recently here and this current generation. So I get it. Frictional Games doesn't have the biggest budgets to work with, but just being objective here, the graphics are not going to knock your socks off. They're decent. They're solid. But there's nothing really that stands out to me about them. The character models, what few you see, because this is from a first-person perspective, the game is played from that, and the only character models that you really see are dead bodies of soldiers as you come across them throughout the exploration of the bunker. And in the very beginning of the game, you do see some character models that are the German soldiers running around, other fellow soldiers of the French army that are running right there with you. But for the most part, they are static characters that you see. And I mean, sure, there's some pictures that you might see some character models done up for the picture. But in general, in-game, as you're exploring the bunker, these character models are pretty, I would say, pretty bland. There's not a whole lot of attention to detail. There's just not a lot of crispness to them. It didn't break the game for me. It did not ruin my experience by any means. I wasn't playing this game for the visuals. But objectively, I gotta say these things and share these things with you so you know what to expect if you were planning on playing it. From an environmental perspective, the game is also, I would say, solid, you know, on the low end of what you would expect on this generation. But again, not bad. The amount of detail within the walls of the bunker and the different rocky caves that you walk through and different architecture and details within the rooms and offices that you explore. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in these areas, but the attention to detail, the amount of depth that you get from these visuals, it's not going to shine or pop or be like, man, this is just a nice looking game, man, as you're walking around. So visually, the game is not in the top tier of what I would consider today's current generation to be in. So don't go into this game expecting the top of the line visuals. Now, I will say, when it comes to lighting, in this kind of a game, in any survival horror game, lighting, I feel, is very crucial, especially with this game specifically, where its gameplay mechanics are very much based around darkness and the usage of light and the drawstring flashlight that we'll get into the details of in the gameplay segment later in the review. So lighting needs to be really well done. Well, overall, I thought it was done really well, but again, the lighting is what I would consider kind of almost like a last-gen feeling lighting engine. It does its job, and you'll never be in a position of failure because of the lack of lighting. But again, it just, I don't know, there was just not a whole lot of current-gen feeling to this game when it comes to the visuals. Now, when we talk about sound, again, in a survival horror game, in this game, sound is massively important. And I will say they really did, Frictional Games, the developer, they really did a great job with the sound design. I felt like the sounds of the creature scurrying through the walls and across the ceilings and the crumbling of the bunker itself when there was explosions from above ground during the war and just all kinds of different things that happened throughout the course of your exploration of the bunker. I felt like all the sounds were really, really well done. And the little voice acting that you do get from certain letters, as I mentioned earlier, that are being read by the soldiers who wrote them, the voice acting is done well. I thought there was a commendable job done there. So overall, I thought that the sound design was great. Now, when I look at sound design in a game, when I'm playing on the Xbox, I use the Lucid Sound headset. So this next segment is basically saying, is it worth playing with a Lucid Sound headset or a comparable headset? Does that alter the experience enough to where you have to play using that Lucid Sound headset? Or does it make a difference at all? Could you just play using a soundbar or the TV speakers? Is it a Lucid experience or one where you might as well be asleep? Let's find out. Gamers, when it comes to this style of game, these survival horror games, I love discussing the importance of, or the difference of, wearing a headset during the experience as opposed to using or listening through a soundbar or regular TV speakers. So with Amnesia the Bunker, as I talked about, there was already great sound design in place as far as what the bass sound effects were of the creature who's scurrying through the walls around you and the ceiling above you and the crumbling of the bunker during explosions. Imagine all these things, but they are accentuated tenfold with the Lucid Sound headset. It was absolutely that much more terrifying wearing the headset and being that much more immersed in the environment. Because there are things that you don't pick up on through the soundbar of the TV that you can hear clearly in the headset when you're wearing it. Just different things like for me that I really dig because I love the immersive aspect of it. I want to be as immersed into the gaming experience as possible. And just you can almost hear the emptiness of the bunker as you're walking around exploring it. This game has no music that it plays throughout the course of the game as you're exploring. The only time any kind of music kicks in is if the creature is stalking the area that you're in, and then it goes away, kind of like a sign to let you know that it's there and that it's gone. Well, outside of that, I mean, it's just a completely quiet, empty hallways and rooms, and you can just hear that. Everything echoes, everything that you drop or any chair that you knock over, anything that you, the doors that you open, the creaks that they make, I mean, it all is just kind of echoing throughout the bunker and the space that you're in. And the biggest thing of all, though, is the creature himself. And there are these sounds that happen when he's kind of like quickly, rapidly scurrying, trying to get to a ventilation shaft or a hole that he's created to come out of. And man, I tell you, it is absolutely terrifying because when you have the spatial audio at play, which is in the works here, and you can hear that he's coming from the left, but now he's the right. Maybe he's above you, like, oh my God, where is he coming out of? And there's multiple holes around you that you don't know where he's coming out of. Oh man, it's just an awesome, awesome experience. So I personally thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed wearing the Lucid Sound headset throughout this experience. Definitely my preference, definitely a Lucid experience and not one to where you might as well still be asleep. This is absolutely a Lucid experience and a must wear when it comes to a headset and this game. Now let's talk about the game's controls. Gamers, when you pick up a controller, no matter the console you're playing on, I personally chose to play on the Xbox Series X. No matter the controller, though, it is a first-person viewpoint game. So you're going to be controlling it with the typical first-person shooter, first-person perspective control scheme. Left analog sticks controlling your character movement, right analog stick controls the camera movement. And I feel like Amnesia did a pretty good job of utilizing in multiple ways the entirety of a controller. So, for instance, when you go into your inventory screen, which you can use the view button in order to do that on the Xbox, when you bring up the menu screen, you have your inventory, you can flip through different tabs with the bumper buttons, and in the inventory, you can select certain items to hotkey to the D-pad, and then out in the field, so to speak, you can utilize those items, obviously, by prompting the D-pad selection that you gave to it. Now, outside of this, there is some interesting choices to holster and unholster your handgun. First, to bring out your weapon, you press the X button. Then, if you want to actually holster the gun, you press and hold the X button. So, interesting choice there of button placement or command placement for holstering and unholstering the gun. And then just like any other game with guns, you press the left trigger to ready and aim, and the R trigger is to fire. Outside of that, you are going to be utilizing the LB button to sprint, as opposed to clicking in the analog stick, which I don't mind. I actually have played a few games that use the LB button as the sprint option, or L1 on the PlayStation. And I honestly like these because it's right there in line with your thumb that you're using for controller character movement. So I don't mind that at all. I think it kind of goes perfectly together. Now, outside of that, you are going to be using the Y button to ready or pocket the flashlight. And the flashlight in this game, this is, remember, set back in 1916. So this flashlight is a drawstring flashlight. So it only lasts, the light does, it only lasts for mere seconds or chunks of seconds at a time, depending on how many pulls you do on the string. And in order to pull on the string, you have to press and hold the Y button. So you tap Y to bring it out, and then you hold Y in order to charge your flashlight, so to speak. When you press B, you can crouch and then stand up again if you press it again. Basically, to interact with items in the environment, I thought this was the most odd choice of the whole control scheme of the game. Now, I get it. These games are really coming from a developer, Frictional Games, that was more based in PC games. And so this is probably not as much of an issue for people who play on PC using maybe a mouse and keyboard. But for those of us that use a standard controller, it's a little awkward. So this is the only issue I really had with controls, because I felt like character movement and environmental exploration, pressing A to jump as well, you can do that. I didn't really have any issues with those, firing the weapons, readying and all that good stuff. But it really came down to interacting with the items in the environment. Things that you need to either pick up, or doors to open, close, buttons to interact with, switches, all kinds of different things. The interact button here in this game is the right trigger. And if you want to pick something up, you don't just press the right trigger. You have to press and hold the right trigger, and then you can move the camera analog stick around to, you know, just continue to move around with it. If there are certain things like collectibles, whether it's photos or notes or just items that you want to collect for your inventory, it'll automatically, the game will, when you click and just kind of tap the right trigger button, automatically add that to your inventory, or the tab screen I had mentioned earlier that has all your notes and photos in it. But when it came time to actually open and close doors, you have to click and hold in the right analog stick and either push forward to push it open, or pull back to pull it open, whichever direction that given door is needing to move in order to perform that action. So that could be frustrating, especially if you're trying to get away from the creature real quick. There can be some cumbersome moments where the game is not registering your R trigger press, even though the hand icon is on the screen, meaning that you can interact with the thing in front of you. It's still not grabbing the door. Or when you grab the door and you're moving the analog stick up and down to either open or close it, or in the direction that whatever open and close means, it's not doing anything. So you're leaving yourself vulnerable, and guess what? The creature gets to you and you're dead. And you have to reload at the last manual save point, wherever that safety room may be, given how far you are along in the game. So that was my real only gripe with the controls in the game. I thought everything else was either standard, like the gun control and usage. You know, it's pretty basic stuff. It's not nothing really too out of the ordinary, in my opinion. But man, interacting with items in the environment, like doors, documents, all kinds of things. Just the picking up process, opening and closing doors, that was the worst part for me, and kind of frustrating when it came to the controls. Now, let's talk about the game's gameplay. Gamers, when we look at the gameplay that you can experience in Amnesia the Bunker, there are a few different things that you can expect. So first off, obviously, you're playing from a first-person perspective, as I've stated earlier. And as you go through, you're going to explore the bunker. And you're going to have to manage your inventory spaces. You start out with a certain amount. There's only a certain allotment that you have. But as you progress, there are collectible upgrades that you can upgrade your pack with to give you extra inventory slots. I would highly recommend seeking those out, as the more inventory spaces you have, obviously the more things you can carry, but it's really crucial in this kind of a game. I mean, it definitely is kind of a survival horror style game. And that's part of survival horror, is inventory management, right? Well, the big piece that kind of goes into your inventory management is managing the amount of fuel that you have at a given time. Because in the bunker, the creature that is stalking you the whole time, so you're going to have the creature stalking you the whole time that you're in the bunker. He's going to pop out at certain points. You don't really know where or when he's going to pop out. There are certain safe rooms. There's only two in the entire game that has a lamp that is basically a manual save point for you. And outside of those safe rooms, you're really not safe anywhere else. Even if you don't see holes in the wall, because there are many different entry points into the game world for the creature as far as these holes are concerned. Even if you don't see holes in the wall, he can come around the corner that you didn't even know he was there. And you're rounding a corner yourself, and the creature will pop out and grab you, and you're dead. So the reason why you want to manage fuel is because there is, in the first safe room that you find, there is a generator room. And the generator is fuel operated. So you have to have fuel in order to power the generator. And the reason you want to power this generator is because it honestly, it gives you not just the lighting throughout the bunker, but it also allows you access to certain puzzle solutions and different things like that, different rooms that may be electronically locked, or sending a radio frequency signal out, or listening to a recording, or all kinds of different many things that you'll find as you explore. But there are many reasons to have the electricity running. Let's just put it to you that way. So it really, the game becomes a puzzle in and of itself, trying to balance like, do I want to use this fuel right now? I haven't seen new fuel in a while, fuel containers. So when is the next time I'll come across fuel? Do I want to waste it all now? Do I just want to use one fuel tank, or do I want to use them all? Now, at the same time, the game does a great job of kind of allowing you to keep track of how long the fuel is going to last. Because what you do, the game recommends that when you fuel up the generator, you also time that with bringing out a stopwatch. And when you bring out the stopwatch, the game will automatically adjust it to the amount of time that you have based on the amount of fuel that you just put into the generator. So I thought that was actually a pretty cool gameplay mechanic. And that allows you, as you are running around exploring the bunker, allows you to know how much time you have left before everything goes back into the pitch darkness. And then at that point, if there is no fuel or there is no generator running and electrical lighting, then guess what? The other big gameplay element here is using your flashlight to light your way through these dark tunnels. And the way you do that, this game is again set in 1916, as I stated earlier, and that drawstring flashlight that I talked about, man. So that is a double-edged sword, gamers, because when you use the flashlight, obviously you need to see and able to progress and move around these tunnels. But the problem with it makes noise. Have you ever had drawstring toys or things like that that you've used in the past? When you pull the drawstring, it can be loud. Well, guess what? It's no different here with this drawstring flashlight, and it makes noise. So if the creature is already scurrying around in the walls, or you hear him in the ceiling, and you need to refresh the life of the flashlight because it only lasts for seconds at a time. So you have to constantly continue re-pulling on the string to keep that light illuminated. So that is the kind of catch-22, the double-edged sword here is you could potentially alert the creature to your location if you're pulling on the drawstring when he is, because you can hear him scurrying around in the walls and in the ceiling. And if you do that near those locations, he could pop out right there because he knows, oh, there's my prey. That's where I need to go. In addition to being able to track you via sound, so it's not just when you are using the drawstring flashlight that he can hear you, it's also when you're sprinting. So recommend that you just walk at just a normal pace as best you can. I know there are times, many times, where I sprinted to get where I was going in the interest of time. But I will say save sprinting mostly for when the electricity and the lights are on. I will also say, though, to clarify, just because the lights are on doesn't mean that the creature is not going to come and get you. He will still come out. He's just not as active during those times when the electric and the light is on. So outside of just sound, whether it's sprinting or using the drawstring or using a gun and firing the gun that you have at a given time, whether it's a handgun, there is a shotgun that you can find and use that as well. You can use the shotgun or the gun for many different things, not just to shoot at the creature. This isn't really a first-person shooter. It's more about surviving and puzzles. But you can use the shotgun blast to destroy a wooden door that may be blocking your path if it's locked or you can't find a way to get around the door other than just blasting it open. Or if there are explosive barrels nearby, you can shoot those with a weapon and they can explode and either clear a path for you into a doorway or hallway. Or, yeah, if the creature is nearby, that can be a deterrent. And if they explode, they won't kill the creature because, again, the creature is unkillable in this game. So it will, though, scare it off and it'll go scampering back into the holes in the walls and kind of stay in there for a little while and come back at a later time. So there are different things that you can do in the interest of scaring away the creature. At the same time, you can lure him towards you by doing these actions as well. So you got to be careful. Even things like, as you get further into the game, you'll uncover a wrench, which will allow you to unscrew the screws that are keeping ventilation duct entrances closed. And you can take these vents off. And these vents are pure metal. So when you pull them off and you drop them, I mean, it makes a clanging sound. And that, again, will attract the creature. So you just got to be real careful and precarious with all of your different movements and things that you're doing. Now, I will say there, in addition to some of these things I've already mentioned as deterrents to the creature, there are also things like grenades, flares, and Molotov cocktails that you can use. So all these options are there for you as far as deterrents, but there's not just the creature. The other enemy type, if you can call it that in the game, are these nasty, disgusting, giant rats that you'll find all throughout the bunker feeding on the corpses of your fellow French soldiers. And the only way to get past them is by either setting off a gas canister, another deterrent for the creature. But I would not recommend doing that until you get the gas mask, which is something that you can find as you progress further in the game. But that is a deterrent for them, or fire. And as you progress, you also are able to use another part of the gameplay aspect here, which is combining and creating items. So if you find a random stick, you can add that to your inventory. Cloth, you add that to your inventory. And guess what? Eventually you get a Zippo lighter. And you guessed it, you can combine the cloth with the stick, use the Zippo lighter, and you got a torch. Now the cloths, they're also used as a means to give you health regenerative items. So if you combine two cloths together, it'll give you bandages, which is what you use to heal. In addition to field kits, field med kits are other things that you can find that will just completely heal you. Bandages, they're essentially what they are named. They're band-aids essentially on deeper wounds. And when you get wounded, you bleed in this game. And you can check the level or intensity of your bleeding by pulling up the inventory screen, and it'll show you your character will kind of wipe at the injury, and on his hand, it'll show the level of blood loss that you've had. And the reason why this is important is because the creature can also track you based on a blood trail that you leave if you're that wounded enough to do so. So you got to keep managing all these different aspects at all times in the game. I found it really, really fun. I also talked about collectibles previously as really how you get the story as far as the documents and journal entries. That's a massive part of this game, is really understanding why and what's going on. And the context and the stories behind these soldiers is by finding and seeking out and reading these documents, listening to some of them, looking at the photographs and seeing visually some of the actions that have been talked about within the journal entries. I mean, there's just a lot of really cool stuff here that I thoroughly enjoyed. And as you continue to go further into it, there are some obstacles that you can move crates around. You can use those crates in order to access different ledges or things that you otherwise would not be able to, because the jumping, you can't really jump too high in this game. It's not really that kind of a game. In addition to moving crates and barrels to gain access to higher areas, you can also use crates and barrels to push them in front of the different holes that I mentioned that the creature can come out of. And yes, while it will maybe slow him down or sometimes prevent him entirely from coming through that area, it's not a permanent fix. So don't think that just because you put a box or a barrel in front of a hole, you can always go back and forth without worry of the creature coming through, because he will break right through those wooden crates and barrels and be coming right at you down that hallway. And let me tell you, it's pretty terrifying. And all this combined, in addition to all this, there are puzzles. So you're going to have to utilize the map that I talked about inside the safe room. And the way that you unlock the different details of the map is there are other rooms throughout the bunker, all over the different areas of the bunker. There's a prison, there's a quarters, a sleeping quarters for the different soldiers. There's also a different cave system and tunnels. I mean, there's just all kinds of different locations down here in this bunker. It's a really cool environment to explore. I had a lot of fun doing it. And as you go through, and there's different rooms that have other maps that are specific to the area that they're in, like the prison or like the soldiers' quarters and things like that, they will then illuminate or pop up on your main map there in the safe room, and you'll now see all the details of all the rooms and whatnot that are in those areas. So I thought that was a pretty cool way to do it. You also have to figure out sometimes how to string together electric lines with different breaker boxes that you can turn on and off. And they're kind of daisy chain together is what they call it. And one being turned off could affect all the others. There's just all these different things. So there's puzzles that you can deal with and have to interact with and figure out at certain points. I even felt like the final boss, if you can call it that, was a puzzle in and of itself, which I thought was actually pretty cool and enjoyed the solution to it and felt pretty cool when I figured out how to take care of it. But long story short, a lot of different gameplay variety. Again, you can, you know, shoot at the monster with these weapons that I mentioned earlier and the gun and the shotgun, but don't think this is a first-person shooter by any means. Ammo is very, very limited, and it's really, in my experience playing through the game, it wasn't meant necessarily for the creature. It was really meant more for exploratory purposes or using it to fend off rats or different things like that. Don't get me wrong, there was a couple times that I tried it on the creature. If I was in a bind and I didn't want to have to die and redo everything that I just did, I would shoot the creature a couple times with the handgun or the one shot with the shotgun and he would run off. But other than that, I mean, there's just a lot of fun gameplay here to be had. And if you like that style of game, puzzles, scares, exploration, it's just, it's a lot of really cool stuff and a good time. So now that we talked about the gameplay, let's go check out the ship's chronometer to find out how long it took me to beat the game, as well as how long it may take you to beat the game based on your playstyle. As we look at the ship's chronometer, I'll first off start out by saying how long it took me to beat the game. And for me, I spent right around 12 hours playing this game. Now, I would have been able to beat this game at about the 7-hour mark, maybe the 8-hour mark. But the extra 4 to 5 hours was because I was enjoying it that much and honestly really wasn't ready to leave that world of the bunker, if that even makes any sense, given how terrifying it was and what was going on. But I was achievement hunting, to be honest with you, and the game, I enjoyed it enough to be able to want to spend the time to go in and do that. So I would say if you're looking to do everything in the game, that it's probably going to take you close to 10 to 12 hours, or around the same time frame that it took me. Now, if you're looking to just play through the story, you could probably finish it within 5 to 7 hours. And if you're looking to do a little bit of exploration along the way, you could probably land right there in the middle at about 8 hours. So that's what I would gauge is probably your time expectation when approaching Amnesia the Bunker as an option to play. Now let's go check out my final thoughts and review score. Gamers, looking back on Amnesia the Bunker as a whole, I have to say that I was absolutely surprised by this game in a good way, the best way possible, because sure, I had dabbled in Amnesia the Dark Descent and played and really liked Amnesia Rebirth, but never beat it. But the premise of this sounded interesting. It was on Game Pass, so I decided, oh, I'll check it out and went into it, honestly expecting only to play an hour or two just to check it out and see what it was like and move on. But I ended up not doing that. I ended up putting all 12 of those hours into it that I talked about and thoroughly enjoying my time with the game. So I would say that was a very good thing as far as the quality of the game. I really did what Frictional Games put together with the setting and the time frame and just the gameplay aspects that all came together. It was something unique and honestly the right game at the right time. But I will say there were a few issues. One was the controls. I felt like the controls for picking up items was just really bad. I really did not like the fact that I had to hover over an item and have the hand icon, hold down the right trigger. And I did not like that. I thought it was kind of cumbersome and not really user-friendly, at least on a controller, on a console. I also felt like the graphics were just way too dated. For today's day and age, I feel like even a smaller indie company like Frictional Games, I felt like Amnesia Rebirth had better graphics than what the Bunker had. So I don't know what happened there, but I just felt like the graphics were way under par of what they should have been. And in addition to that, as far as from a gameplay complaint, the only other thing I would really say is sometimes it could be frustrating with the creature. I would either feel like I'm in an area where I'm boxed in. No matter what I did, the creature would not stop stalking the area that I was in, or it would not stop running up and down the walls, inside the walls, and popping out near where I was at. And again, just making me feel boxed in, and almost as if the game was programmed to not allow me to progress back to where I wanted to get to at that point in time. There was a few moments where that happened to me throughout the course of my 12 hours. So that really, really just got to me. But overall, it was a fun experience, and I did enjoy playing through the game and glad I played through it. And it honestly, at the end of it, made me want to go back and play and finish Amnesia Rebirth, Amnesia the Dark Descent, and just kind of really lose myself in those games because I enjoyed it that much. But at the end of the day, with the few things that I did have a gripe with, I would say that it lands me on a final score of a 7.75 out of 10. That'll do it for my review of Amnesia the Bunker. I hope you've enjoyed your time aboard the SS Gamer. You can join its crew by reaching out to me via email at lostatseagaming365@gmail.com, as well as searching for Hulking Yoda on the Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo Switch networks. You can also find me on social media on Instagram at lostatseagaming and on Twitter at lostatseagamin1. Thank you for listening, and until the sea says otherwise, we'll keep sailing.